The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
According to the Economic and Social Research Institute, if the home ownership rate continues to fall, the poverty rate among over 65s will more than double from 14 to 31%. Last year, the median disposable income for a single over 65 household was €20,067, but meanwhile, the average rent for existing tenancies nationwide in 2024 was almost that, €17,280, not much left to subsist on. So it begs the question, how will older renters be able to afford those kind of average rents? Well, joining me now to talk about this is Senior Lecturer on Housing in Technological University, Dublin, Lorcan Sir. And with me in studio, a former renter of rooms, living literally from room to room, Brendan O'Neill. We'll talk to Brendan about his experience in a moment. But first of all, Lorcan, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
You've been writing about this. This is a time bomb which is not even hidden. It's there to be seen.
Yes, indeed, Pat. And I've been raising this for a number of years, and ministers have not only not deflected, they haven't deflected the issue, they just haven't addressed it at all. And that's, you know, since 2006, 2012, we've seen our rates of home ownership plummet. And whereas we used to be 81% home ownership, we're now about 65%, the same as the US and the UK, which is not really places you want to be. And that's all very well, but you need to subdivide that down. It's slightly different if you're a 25-year-old and you're renting. It's very different if you're a 65 or a 75 or even older person renting, because you at 25, you're kind of looking forward in your career to your wages going up or your income going up, your promotion and all that kind of stuff. When you are a lot older, obviously, in particular if you're on a pension, the rate of increase that you can look forward to is very minimal, whereas the rate of rent increase that you can look forward to is quite substantial. So that means that these people are really, these older renters as a cohort, are incredibly vulnerable to eviction and to rent increases and to not be able to afford the rent. And the question then is, well, how are these people renting going to be able to afford to live on a modest state pension?
And the problem is, if you've got limited income, normally you would expect the local authorities would be providing accommodation. To what extent are they at all? We know they're not building very much and they're subcontracting the building of what they do build. To what extent are they providing accommodation for this sector?
Not really is the honest answer, Pat. And if you remember, I remember growing up on the north side of Dublin, and interspersed in the housing estates would be these kind of two-storey, what we call deck access, you know, so there's a whole series of maisonettes on the first floor and flats on the bottom floor for older people. And we've stopped doing those, really. So housing for older people is kind of very much an ignored segment. So you end up with the likes of Willie Birmingham's, run by Sean Moynihan, what do you call it, the charity there, doing a lot of the heavy lifting there. But also, you know, you might have a situation where an older person isn't entitled to help from the state because they earn that little bit too much, but yet still can't afford the rent. And of course, there's nothing to look forward to in terms of salary increases and that because they're retired. So there's a whole cohort there that are, you know, outside the what you might call the trawl, you know, the net of the safety net from the state, but yet are still incredibly vulnerable. And it's not just financial vulnerability, Pat, it's also the security of tenure. So in other words, the reasons whereby you can be legitimately and legally asked to leave your house. And that's all very well when you're 25, but it's not very well when you're 25.
Now, we'll talk about policy. We'll talk about policy issues in a moment, but Brendan O'Neill is sitting with me, and he is, I suppose, a classic example of having to live in, shall we say, unsuitable accommodation. Brendan, tell me your story. Where have you been living the last few years?
I've been living in a box room.
A box room.
And it's no fault of, I had a wonderful landlord, and before that, a wonderful landlady. They were really, really nice to me. So it's not their fault they ended up.
You could not afford a flat?
I could not afford, no. Through the crash and bad health, it can affect, it catch up with anybody at any time.
So you couldn't afford a flat, so therefore the best you could do was a room?
A room, yes.
Now, what are the problems in living in a shared house, just in a room?
When you're young, it's great, fantastic. But I got in a loan, Lorcan just mentioned the loan there. I got the keys on the 19th of December. A wonderful, birthday present, Christmas present for me. But
so you were living in a room in a house
in a
over
house,
a number
yeah,
of years.
Literally, there was no sitting room. The sitting room was the kitchen, and I was upstairs in the box room.
So you had to cook for yourself downstairs in the shared kitchen?
Yeah.
And everything was shared?
Yeah. And you had set times to do this.
So if you wanted to cook, you had to, like, you're half five to half six.
Try to get home first.
Yeah.
Get on, yeah.
So how frustrating did you find that?
For somebody who, I like cooking and I like take my time. That was usually frustrating for me. And I'm not a great telly watcher. So I spent all the time outdoors, all the time.
So you went kind of walkabout just all the time, recreate that way.
Yeah.
But still, if it was lash and rain and the weather was not hospitable,
I'd find somebody to visit.
Inflict yourself the bonds.
Well, okay. Yeah.
But otherwise, the box room was...
The box room.
Was it?
No, I kind of just get off. That's because I would rather concentrate on what's happened since.
Yeah. Well, because how did you qualify for help from a loan?
Well, I'm 70 now. I was 69 at the time. And I put my name. And slowly but surely, my number came down to number one.
On so you could list. Watch your progress.
Yes. You ring every day. I ring every week to Dublin City Council. And but you can actually now check it on the internet. You have a housing number. And you go check on the internet where you stand.
And but this wasn't Dublin City Council getting you the house. It was a loan.
Dublin City Council pay my rent. And then I pay X amount to it.
Okay.
And it's the improvement in my life is vast.
Your landlord is a loan then, is it?
My landlord's a loan, yeah.
Okay, so they pay... They do a HAP kind of thing for
exactly,
you.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you add more
and that pressure
to
having to get the rent every month and all the bills.
So describe your accommodation now.
I have a one-bedroom apartment overlooking the Camac with a balcony that sun shines through. No matter which window I open, I hear the birds sing every morning. I dance around the kitchen like you wouldn't believe. And only last weekend, my friends who couldn't make it my birthday party got me an apron, a Beatles, because I'm a Beatles fan, a Beatles apron. Because I love cooking and I couldn't be happier. I just, to meet these people who are just so nice and that's that they say the right things, they certainly encourage. Because living as an older person, your confidence goes, it just goes. You're even though it's not the landlord or the landlady's fault, it's you get to this age, you're going, I should have had. But it's a combination, as I say, of crashes, the economy. Yeah. In my case, I had cancer and it all came at the same time.
You found yourself without resources.
And luckily enough, I had a family who helped me out incredibly well, incredibly well.
And now you have a key to your own door.
I have a key to my own door and I couldn't be happier for it.
So really, you look incredibly healthy and fit.
Oh, God.
And you wouldn't pass for 70, I tell you that.
I passed, there's a girl in the office called Carol and Rhonda. I couldn't say enough about them. And Anne as well, in alone. I could not possibly build them up more. But 1 week after I got the key, I have a photograph on my phone, I got the key. And 1 week after, I dropped in the office. And Carol said, Brendan, 1 week, I cannot understand. I looked my age on the 18th of December.
Okay.
And then 1 week later, I looked like this.
Okay.
That's, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. I stopped smoking.
Which is a real bonus.
No, I couldn't. Now that I'm happy, I can stop smoking. I'm involved in acting and stuff, and so I'm getting back on stage. I'm going back doing stuff.
So it has truly been transformative.
Oh, unbelievable! It's unbelievable. And these guys in this place help out all the time.
But of course, not everyone is going to, you know, advance up the housing list. Yeah. That's the truth of it, isn't it?
So it takes a long time. It took a long, long time.
But now you're happy.
Oh, you're joking me, aren't you?
Well, Lorcan, listening to that, Lorcan, that is a great story with a very happy ending, but a struggle for most people to reach that happy ending.
Yeah, and I just show you, his story is brilliant, isn't it? And it just shows you, though, that as you get older, like, it's things like marriage breakup, losing jobs, but also health as you get older is a big determinant. You know, there are extra issues that people, that older renters have that younger people don't have. And only for the likes of a loan, you know, the state would be doing an awful lot worse. So we do need a kind of a focus on this. Like, nobody has asked this question. Like, there's a huge emphasis on, you know, building thousands of apartments for rent. And that means that there's going to be fewer houses for sale out there to buy for younger people. So increasingly, there's going to be more and more people who are now, say, in their 40s, who are going to find themselves on retirement in this situation where they're renting.
Lorcan,
because
aren't councils
is on the wrong thing.
Aren't councils supposed to prepare some sort of a housing need and demand assessment for each of the council areas so that they know the kind of people they need to house and how they should plan for that? Do they do that?
They do, and they're obliged to do that under legislation for 10 years so that each council will know that, you know, the age profile of the population or the type of housing that they will need in the future. But it doesn't do any analysis by tenure, in other words, by how much housing they're going to need by sale or for rent. So what you see increasingly, particularly in the large urban areas around Dublin, like in the last 3 years, about 95% of all new housing PAT has been housing for rent and not for sale. So it's really difficult for councils then to say, like, well, how are we going to provide housing for older people when the vast majority of it is it for rent? And of course, they can't afford these rents.
And of course, what's happening is the councils are actually buying, they're paying the rent in some of these new blocks built by whatever funds or developers have built these things, which is a nice little earner for the developer. But for the council, it's good money after bad.
It is, absolutely. And you'd build, like, for the price of it, you'd build three council houses for the price of the rent that you're buying over a small number of years. So it's very expensive, but for the councils, it's a quick solution because they can go out and buy brand new apartments. And the irony then, of course, is you also have councils going out and buying secondhand houses around the city, which in many cases were ex-council houses themselves in the first place. So you have this kind of convoluted policy, but nowhere really is putting a focus on older people as a specific housing cohort, really. And there's something in the programme for government about people who own homes and keeping in their homes, but it's very vague and it's very aspirational and it's kind of meaningless in a way. So we really need a better emphasis on the increasing number of people. Like, there's 17,000 people, which, you know, people say that's not a lot. It's actually a huge amount of people out there who are older in the rental sector. And ultimately what's going to happen is the taxpayer is going to put their hand in their pocket to help supplement the rent through half the housing assistance payments. And that rent, as you say, will most likely go to overseas funds to fund, you know, retirement homes in Canada and Germany and America and places like that, as we pay through the nose for it.
I mean, those funds will find the best investment they can for their members, and, you know, who can blame them for that? But if we allow them to dominate the rental market here, that is our problem, not theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a policy decision that was taken back by Michael Noonan in about 2013 or so, and we've kept with it since, because it's a very good, like, the investment industry is very good at selling itself as part of the solution, not part of the problem, without actually understanding all the other side effects that it causes. In other words, not being able to find housing for sale and the whole disbursement of people from the city out to Mullingar and Westmeath and all those places and commuting everywhere because there's nowhere to buy, all that kind of stuff. So there are huge policy issues there, but older people as a specific cohort, in my mind, in housing policy have been ignored.
And the other point you've made about older people who have perhaps ownership of a large house, you say they're, you know, almost being viewed as bed blockers. Why don't you get out of that big house and move to something smaller and allow a family to move in where you no longer need the space? But you say that that's not always affordable or possible.
No. So what we've seen, Pat, in the last few years is a kind of a nudge campaign, really, to say there's an awful lot of people who are living in housing too big for their needs. Now, my question there is, who the hell are you to tell me that my house is too big for my needs as an older person, right? Because I might have lots of things. I might have a little grand piano in a room downstairs. I might have a gym in a room upstairs. I might have hobbies and pursuits and friends over. But also, what you find with a lot of older people is their kids are grown up and the house is very quiet during the week, fair enough. But at the weekend, then everybody descends on granny and granddad's house to live and play and visit them. And also, then you have an increasing number of people who need carers as they get old, and we need places for them to stay. So I find it a little bit obnoxious, to be honest with you, this whole kind of idea that people are living in houses too big for their needs. I mean, it's kind of communist in a way, Pat, if you think about it. Like, is there a set number of square metres that everybody should live in per person? Or, you know, are we free to decide ourselves? Like, there's an awful lot of people in Ireland who worked hard and built their own house to their own standards and were allowed to do it by the systems and the planning permission that they were granted. And fair play to them. I mean, that's just it. They live in a house that, or they might have grown up in a house and had loads of kids, and the husband or the wife is dead and the kids have moved away, and they've ended up in this house, and there's no way they're going to move because it's...
So you say the policymakers look upon such houses as units rather than homes, with all the things that a home represents, family,
yeah,
and
a bit like Yeah, they forget all that past. You know, the history, the memories. The fact, older people as well. I mean, I did research many years ago with the Morrick research, and we found that older people, like, they don't really care about money, but what they care about are things like gardening and hobbies and pets and things like this. And these are the very things that our new apartment standard, for example, where we're going to get rid of balconies. They're the very things that people appreciate.
Brendan here mentioned his balcony.
Oh,
it goes over
I heard that.
A balcony overlooking the Camac. Brendan, if you didn't have a balcony, it wouldn't be quite as good.
No, it's fabulous. Fabulous, as I said.
And when
there.
The next pandemic comes along and people people find themselves with no balcony to take the air when they're locked in their homes, you know, who kind of informs these policies, Lorcan? Because it does seem as if it's all about, it's a numbers game rather than, you know, livability being...
It's cost cutting. It's penny pinch. You know what I mean. It's penny. It's a penny wise and pound foolish, really, because ultimately we're going to end up creating really horrible rabbit hutches of accommodation for people, and particularly as technology improves, right, Pat, with airtightness and what you know, in internal heating and all that. What you need is a balcony to clear out hot, small, cramped places. You know, you need to be able to run air through your premises, and a lot of this is driven by basically penny pinching. You know, cost. Cutting corners as much as possible to make things cheaper. Now, look, there's nothing new in all this. I was writing about Irish workhouses last week for a book coming out later on this year, and there was the same crack was going on in the 1830s and 1840s. So there's nothing new here, really. But it's a shame that we know so much more about the importance of our, you know, our built environment and our housing to our mental and physical health, and we're still doing at this crack.
And we're being told, of course, that we're all going to be signed up to these pension schemes if you don't have an occupational pension. But this is from one texter. If workers are now paying top rent, how could they afford to save for a decent pension? Another one, I'm 61 with this coming down the road. I'm currently employed, so okay. But 65 approaches, I'll lose my job. I'll have no capacity to pay my rent. I've spoken to my local TD about the subject and that person said, there are supports available to you, like HAP. Nobody should reach retirement age without owning the roof over their heads. Government policy should prioritise this, says another. It seems we pay top dollar for a public service that only works on a day-to-day basis and takes no responsibility for future needs. Without charities, also funded by the taxpayer, this country would be a miserable place. And so it goes. Lots of comments there. Lorcan, thank you very much for a very interesting conversation. And Brendan O'Neill, I'm glad you're happy in your accommodation.
Thanks very much, Pat.
And long may you be so. All right, the comments are still coming. I'll bring those to you a little later on. But still to come on News Talk, Adrian Weckler will talk us through how AI can make music.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.